Good morning, everyone. We're glad of your presence with us in the Lord's house for this Sabbath morning worship service. We appreciate your presence. We're going to think today of the greatness of God's power. He's the God of the impossibility. Jeremiah 32 and 17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Pray the Lord encourage you through those words. They're repeated a few times through the scriptures. We're going to look at another occurrence when those words are used a little later. But may you be encouraged today in your circumstances to know that nothing is too hard for the Lord. We're going to sing together Charles Wesley's great hymn about the Sabbath day. "Come, let us with our Lord arise. Our Lord who made both earth and skies, who died to save the world he made, and rose triumphant from the dead." Hymn 27, we'll rise together as we sing, please. Into the Lord's hands today. Heavenly Father, we praise thee for thy day, thankful for the Sabbath. We're glad of the first day of the week. We rejoice that we're able to enter into the courts of thy house on this day. We're thankful, Father, that we're blessed to be able to commence the week in the house of God. We want to ask, Father, that you'll come and touch us today, fill us with thy Spirit. Our desire is to be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. We're conscious, Father, that we need that quickening touch. Remember the psalmist prayed, quicken thou me according to thy word. And Father, we feel our deadness or emptiness. We're conscious, Father, that we need the quickening touch of God. We pray that you'll grant us today in this meeting the fullness of your Spirit. We want to praise thee for enabling us to gather in thy house. We want to thank you, Father, for freedom granted to us as your people. We want to thank you for freedom to worship thee according to our conscience and according to your word. We pray that that civil and religious liberty that has been bought for us at highest price, that it'll ever be preserved and maintained. We ask thee to keep this land for the preaching of the gospel. We pray that this land will once more prosper again under the preaching of your word. We want to pray, Father, for the families of our congregation, all that are represented in the service this morning. We pray for the blessing of God upon every home and upon every family. Bless the families spiritually in the things of God. May your presence be known in their homes. We pray, Father, that those that know Christ will be led on with thyself day by day. We pray that each one that knows the Lord will be drawn closer in their walk with the Savior. We ask thee, Father, teach us from your word day by day in those quiet times as we read the scriptures and seek thee in prayer. We ask thee, Father, that your presence would be known and even sensed in our homes by all that come in to visit with us. We pray for opportunities even to speak to them of Christ and the great needs of their souls. As we pray for our families, we're mindful, Father, of those that are not right with God, those that have no hope as far as their soul and eternity is concerned. We want to plead, Father, that you might speak to them. Give us a greater concern. We pray that we might never lose that concern for the souls of our loved ones. O God, we want to pray that you would work in their hearts, even those that refuse to come to the house of God. We want to pray in their circumstances that you will speak to them. We pray that you'll bring across their paths those that would witness to them and talk to them of the things of God and press upon them the claims of Christ. We're asking, Father, bless our families with household salvation. We plead with thee today that not one of our family members would be lost, that they would perish for all eternity. Lord, our desire, our deep burden today for every member of every family of this church is that on that day when the roll is called up yonder, that every one of them might be there. We think, Father, of the temporal, the practical needs of our families too, various families passing through differing circumstances. Our cry, Father, is that you would be near to each one of them. We pray that they'll know your sustaining grace. We pray that they'll be conscious of the help and guidance of God, some with great decisions to make for their families and for their futures. We pray, Lord, that they would know wisdom and direction. We thank that you've promised that if in all our ways we acknowledge thee, that thou wilt direct our paths. So we're praying, Father, give direction to those families that require that. Make it clear to them the way that you would have them to go. May they hear your voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Those, Father, that have great needs, whatever those needs may be, whatever form they may take, we rejoice in the comfort of your word to our hearts, even last Sabbath day, that thou art Jehovah Jireh. Thou art the Lord who provides. So we're pleading, Father, we pray that that would be our experience. that we would not just know of it by the hearing of the ear, but that we might prove it as Abraham did those many years ago, that we might prove, Father, even daily and continually, that thou art the Lord that sees, and that thou art the Lord who does provide. We think, Father, of those that grieve and mourn today. We're mindful of the Gardner family. Ask that you'd be especially near to them. We're mindful of Matthew and Leanne Higgins. Lord, grant to them the sustaining grace of God through these days. And we think of the dark providence that has befallen them. The scriptures tell us that what thou dost, we know not now, but we shall know hereafter. And Lord, our prayer is that you would comfort them. Just, you're the God of all comfort. You're the God of all grace. Whatever our circumstances, however great our grief may be, we rejoice that your grace is sufficient and that there is comfort with the Lord. Lord, we pray that they would be conscious that you're with them. You've assured us that even in the darkest valleys, that thou art by our side. So we're praying, Father, that you might do that for the Higginses at this time. I remember Heather, Stephen and Laura, the children as well. Grant to them and the wider family the grace that is needed. We're mindful today of the Rolston family also. We thank you for the memory of Sydney and for his faithful support of this congregation for many years. We thank you, Father, for his testimony and that lovely Christian personality that he had and displayed. And Lord, our prayer is that even his home calling might speak to others. We want to pray for Gladys today, that you'd be at her side as well. We pray that she would know the comfort of the Lord, that you'd minister to her, speak to her even from your word. We're mindful of Anne and David as well. Draw near to them. Sustain them also in the loss of Anne's uncle. We ask, Father, that they as well would just know that the Lord's hand is upon them. We're thankful, Father, you've told us in your word that you can do something that no other can do. You're able to heal the brokenhearted. Lord, what a comfort, what an encouragement. And Father, for both of these families, all of these family circles that grieve, our cry is that you might be pleased to do that for them. Lord, speak to us. We have been reminded, Father, just of the blessing of life, the blessing of our days upon this earth. Oh God, forgive us for those times when we have wasted the time that you've blessed us with. We're conscious that one day when we stand before thee, you'll ask us to give account of our stewardship. But Lord, we want to pray, impress upon our hearts the great need to redeem the time. And we pray that we'll, in the words of the hymn writer, labor for the Master from the dawn till setting sun. Thank you too, Father, for those that were diligent in outreach these last few days, Friday night and Saturday. We thank you for answered prayer for that outreach. We praise thee, Father, for the weather that was so favorable. Thank you for those that were so willing to go out and distribute the literature. Thank you for conversations that were engaged in, the guiding hand of God and all that took place. Lord, we know that you've assured us that if we go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, we shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing our sheaves with us. And our cry is, fulfill that great promise for the sowing of the seed. We pray there'll be fruit. We pray that there'll be an abundant harvest from the work that has been done. Lord, hear our cries. We commit the meeting to thee now. We pray for wisdom. Pray for direction. Pray, Father, help us in all that is said. We pray that we'll be conscious of the Lord's help in this meeting today. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to further sing together the words of the 98th Psalm. We're singing the second version of the Psalm together. Sing a new song to Jehovah, for he wondrous things hath wrought. His right hand and arm most holy, victory to him hath brought. So the second version of the 90th Psalm, standing to sing, please. take the scriptures together, please. We're reading again this Sabbath morning in the book of Genesis, chapter 18. Last Sabbath morning we were just a little further on, chapter 22. Genesis chapter 18, beginning to read at the first verse. Let's hear the word of the Lord to our hearts today. And the Lord appeared unto him, that's unto Abraham, in the plains of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and bowed himself toward the ground, and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread, and comfort ye your hearts. After that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant. And they said, So do as thou hast said. And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, and said, Make ready quickly three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, and fetched a calf tender and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. And they said unto him, Where is Sarah thy wife? And he said, Behold, in the tent. And he said, I will certainly return unto thee according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind them. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. Therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, After I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying? Just remind you, in verse 12, it said she laughed within herself. So Abraham didn't hear the laugh. The Lord said unto Abraham in verse 13, Wherefore did Sarah laugh? It's a reminder to us the Lord knows our hearts, the response even of our hearts. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laughed not, for she was afraid. And he said, Nay, but thou didst laugh. We'll close our reading, the close of that 15th verse, and we're sure the Lord will follow with his blessing the public reading of his word. We welcome you to our morning worship this Sabbath day, the final Sabbath of November. How quickly the year is passing by. We welcome everyone. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus, the one who is the sole King and head of his church. We welcome you to his house today. If there are visitors with us, we want to thank you for your presence and pray that you'll be encouraged by the meeting today. We're very glad to see the children and the young people. We're encouraged by your regular attendance as well. And our prayer is the Lord will put his hand on each one of you from your earliest days. And we want to welcome those too that are watching our service on the live stream. Pray it might be a blessing to your hearts also. We thank everyone who has helped with the outreach at Georgian Day. The weather was very favourable. We praise the Lord for answer to prayer. There was a lot of people in the city. There was a good team that went forth. Six or seven that were out yesterday gave out around 2,000 tracts, 2,000 pieces of gospel literature. Also, Billy and Fred went to the light show, the switching on of the lights on Friday night, and gave out a further 600 tracts. And Billy and Fred in recent weeks have also been delivering literature to homes in a number of the Roman Catholic estates in the city. So there has been a large quantity of literature that has gone out in recent weeks. And as we think of the outreach right through the year as well, there has been an abundant sowing of the seed. And we want to thank everyone that was involved, especially in these last few days. And our prayer is that the Lord will give you much fruit for your labours. Please remember the meetings, or the meeting tonight, meetings when we include the prayer meeting, 6 o'clock downstairs in the church hall, 6:30 the gospel service. We asked the question, considered it last Sunday night, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Tonight we're going to think of the question, do you know that you've been born again? So we encourage you to come. We'd be glad of your support. Come yourself, but don't come alone. Endeavour to invite and bring others with you. Tomorrow night at 7:30 is the next meeting of the church committee. Meetings downstairs in the church hall. 6:45 on Tuesday night is both bright hours. Remember that the season is soon coming to an end. So we encourage all of the children to be along. Remember both of those meetings, please. Wednesday the 8th is our midweek meeting for prayer and Bible study. This Wednesday night, our brother Billy McCrum, is going to make a PowerPoint presentation for us. You know that we've had, through the year again, various reports of different aspects of the Lord's work connected with the congregation here. So Billy's going to bring a report on the outreach work, and he's going to show a few pictures as well. But in addition to that, he's going to do a PowerPoint presentation on the history of the gospel tract, and then he will follow on from that to give the report on the outreach here. So it will be very appropriate to hear the story of gospel literature, the gospel tract, and then to get an update on the outreach itself. So remember that, please. That will be a very interesting presentation, and we invite you, encourage you to come along to hear the presentation that will be made. Friday night at 8 is the Youth Fellowship, and Hannah Carson is going to be speaking at the meeting this Friday night. Next Lord's Day, we're into December, the 3rd of December. 10:40 is the Sunday School and Bible classes. 11:30 a.m. the morning meeting, 6:30 p.m. The gospel service. Remember that there will be the Lord's table, communion, following the morning service. I hope to be the preacher at all of those meetings. And we do encourage you to come, please, along for the half hour of prayer. Remember that Monday night week, that's Monday the 4th, will be the ladies' Christmas night, time of food and fellowship downstairs in the church hall. Meeting at 7:15, to begin at 7:30, a buffet meal that will be served, prepared by our sister Sarah Irwin. We're very thankful to Sarah for undertaking to do that and for all her labours. Remember, there's no charge, as the committee has kindly agreed to cover the cost. Keep in mind the list in the porch. If you haven't been able to put your name down as yet, we encourage you to do that today. We need to close the list today just to give Sarah time to assess the numbers and to be able to order in all that is required. So if you do intend to come on Monday night week, we stress that you need to put your name or the names of your family and friends that are coming with you. They need to be down on the list today. And also indicate any dietary requirements that you might have. And our sister, Mrs. Jane Crane from Convoy, she'll be coming along that night to make a special presentation for us. Just to give you a little advance notice, the Sunday school party is on Saturday the 9th of December. So that's just 2 weeks from last night. From 6 o'clock onwards, we encourage a good turnout of the families of the congregation. We encourage you to come even if you don't have children at the Sunday school. Remember, it is always arranged as a church event for the church family as well as the families of the church. So we encourage you all to come and benefit from the fun and the fellowship and the food that evening. The offering on Wednesday night passed for the answers in Genesis so far has come to £300.50. We thank you for your liberal giving to that offering. Thank you sincerely. And remember, you can still add to it. Put your gift in an envelope and mark it for AIG and give it to one of the treasurers. There are still a few tickets left for the launch of Dr. Douglas's new book this coming Thursday night. If anyone else in the congregation would like tickets, let me know about that, please, as soon as possible. Remember, next Sunday afternoon, the special memorial service for Dr. Bill Woods at 3:30 in the afternoon, going to be held in the Martyrs Memorial Church in Belfast. The youth devotional, there's been a very good interest in that, not just in our own church, but across the denomination. There are copies there for all who indicated that they would like one, and those who haven't received one as yet. If you would like a copy, let us know. We received a note just this morning that all the copies have gone across the denomination, so they're trying to get a gauge of any further interest that there might be to consider a second edition or a second printing of the book. So if you would like a copy or copies, let us know. Put those down on the list and indicate that you haven't received yours as yet. The Oma Church is having a youth rally next Saturday night at 8. The speakers are Brother David McCauley from the Hebron Church in Ballymoney. He's a missionary candidate for Uganda. And Mr. Mercer asked that we would stress that there's supper afterwards and a time of fellowship for the young people as well. We were greatly saddened to hear just earlier in the week that little James Thomas Higgins passed away on Monday afternoon, just before birth. It's a very dark providence, heartbreaking circumstances for the family. As a congregation, we do want to extend our deepest sympathy to Matthew, Leanne and little Joel, and also to the Gardner family, to Heather, the grandmother just of the little one, to Stephen, and to Laura, to Charlie, Isaac, Gracia and Martha, uncle, aunt and cousins. So we do pray that you will all know the Lord's near presence, his great comfort through this very, very difficult time. We were also greatly saddened as a congregation by the home calling of Sidney Rolston. Sidney passed away early on Thursday morning. He had turned 85 back in March of this year. He knew the Lord, came to Christ many years ago, been a faithful member of the congregation here for many years. His funeral was yesterday afternoon. Sidney was an uncle of Anne McCune's, so we want to extend our sympathy to Anne and to David, also to his wife Gladys, and to all of the family. So we do commend both of these family circles to you all today as a congregation, that they would know your prayerful support. Pray that the Lord will bear them up and uphold them through these days of grief and great loss for them. Continue to pray for our brother Peter Gorman, Ella Rose, Tracy as well, Ken McMurray, wasn't so well during this past week. And remember Brother Cecil too, he had a fall just in recent weeks that has prevented him from his very faithful and regular attendance at the house of the Lord. So please remember all of these folk as well. Two verses, please, of hymn number 42 before we come to the word this morning. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hand hath made, I see the stars, I hear the mighty thunder, thy power through all the universe displayed. So we're going to sing together the first and the second verses of the hymn 42. We'll rise as we sing, please. Let's just bow together in prayer, please. Father, we want to commit ourselves into your hands. We're glad we can say that our times are in thy hands. We want to pray that you'll abide with us around the word. We ask for the experience of Mary. The word of God says she sat at the Saviour's feet and listened to his word. We plead, Father, that we would be able to say that we have sat at your feet today as well. We thank, Father, of all the varying needs of families in the congregation, some that have been highlighted in this congregation, in this meeting today already. We want to pray, Father, that this will be a word in season for each one, for all that are gathered. Remember, the prophet said that he spoke with good words and with comfortable. We pray, Father, that this might be such a word. We pray that it will come as comfort. We pray it will come as a good word to all our hearts from the very mouth of the Lord himself. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Genesis 18, verse 14 is our text. The scriptures record in that place, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." So the question at the beginning of the text, is anything too hard for the Lord? The theme is the God of the impossible. Back in the history of France, you will know that the kings that reigned over France for many years were known as Louis. Louis XIV was known as Louis the Great, deemed to be the greatest of all of the kings of France. At his funeral, the cathedral building was very dark. On the coffin at the front of the building, they set just a candle. It was something that everyone in the congregation could see clearly in the darkness, the dimness of the building, that dimly lit cathedral. Jean Baptiste Massillon was the preacher on that great occasion, and as he stood up to preach, he reached forward from the pulpit and he snuffed out the candle on the top of Louis the Great's coffin, and he uttered these words as he did so: "God only is great." What a statement, especially on such an occasion. And I want us to think, brethren and sisters, today of God's greatness. Can I remind you, we have a great God. That's something that's worthy of our consideration, worthy of our meditation. The Bible says that his greatness is past finding out. The Old Testament declares, "Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised." For on us, sometimes we lose sight of that greatness. Nehemiah, when he was praying to the Lord in chapter 1 of his book, described God as the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy. Remember, the word terrible there has the idea of a God to be awed, to be in awe of, a God to be feared. He's the great and the terrible God. And it's good for us, especially on this Sabbath day, to remember that. Especially when the struggles of life are overwhelming you, when the burdens of life are weighing you down. Remember, and I encourage you again, come to the prayer meetings. And when you come to the prayer meeting to seek his face, what an encouragement, brethren and sisters. What an encouragement to pray when you know that you're coming to a great God, a God who is great in power. And one of the ways that we see that we learn God's greatness is to remember the truth before us in this text, that there's nothing that is too hard for God. He is the God of the impossibility. And that's what the Lord was teaching this Christian couple, Abraham and Sarah, teaching this lesson even in their old age. Even in that old age, they weren't past instruction and been taught by God. He was 100 years of age. She was 10 years younger. She was 90. God said they were going to have a child. What was their response? Well, they laughed. The reality is that they both laughed. The difference was that Sarah laughed the laugh of unbelief. I say to you, as you think of them laughing, don't be too quick to judge. Remember that if you were in their circumstances, you might have done the same. If you were their age, Christian couple, 100 years of age and 90, and the Lord came and said to you, you were going to have a child, I think a laugh would be the natural response that every one of us would give. But in response to that, the Lord asked them this question: is anything too hard for the Lord? And that's a question, men and women, the Lord wants us to think about. Remember, I've emphasized to you, I read similar words to you from Jeremiah. If you look in verse 27 of Jeremiah 32, the Lord himself makes a similar statement. There's a similar statement in relation to Elizabeth in the New Testament as well. So it's something that's emphasized right throughout the Word of God. The Lord wants you to think of this question today. In the light of your circumstances, whatever those circumstances might be, is there anything that is too hard for the Lord. Just think of what your answer might be. Even in the situation in which you find yourself, just consider what is the answer you would give to that question as the Lord asked it this morning. Let me mention to you some things that it's not too hard for the Lord to do. Remember, there's no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. There are many promises in the Scriptures. What a blessing that is. Some have suggested there's as many as 30,000 promises in the Word of God. That's tremendous, brethren and sisters. What that means is there's a promise for all of your circumstances. Whatever circumstances you might find yourself in, whatever circumstances the Lord in His sovereignty and His providence leads you through, there's a promise for that situation. What that means is you need to keep reading the Bible. I want to encourage you to do that. Keep up your daily reading of the Word of God. And as you read the Word of God, God will give you the promise that you need for your circumstances. And remember that all the promises are yea and amen. All the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him amen to the glory of God the Father, Paul said, writing to New Testament believers. What that means is all the promises are sure. Every promise, brethren and sisters, in the book is certain. Every promise that He has made, He has, and He will keep it. So I want you to be encouraged by that knowledge this morning. Isn't it true in life there are many broken promises? In marriage, in homes, in business, in government, maybe especially in government. I was reminded of George Bush Sr. Whenever he was campaigning, he promised, "Watch my lips, no new taxes." And he broke the promise during that term as president. So broken promises, but not so with the Lord. God always keeps His word, always keeps His promise. And I underline for you the word always. He always keeps His word. Way back in the book of Numbers, Moses declared, "Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoke, and shall he not make it good?" You think of the days of Elijah, famine in the land, period of drought. And God promised to feed His servant, one of the essentials of life, one of the basic necessities. God promised to feed His servant, and He did. And He did it in a wonderful way. And what the Lord did for Elijah then is an example of how He will feed His people in the days of Antichrist, whenever you need His mark to tread upon the earth. That's a very interesting subject in itself. But let me ask you this morning, has God given you a promise for your circumstances? And maybe you've doubted it. You're saying to yourself, could this be true? Could it ever take place? I assure you, brethren and sisters, that no promise in the book is too hard for the Lord to fulfill. As Paul said to the Roman Christians, what He has promised, He is able also to perform. So no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. And there's no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. I remind you, we are to pray. We're to pray personally. We're to pray collectively as a congregation. We're to pray in every situation and every circumstance. And I encourage you today to do that. And remember, God promises to answer prayer. That's one of the promises in the book that is most oft repeated. One of the promises that is clearest. God promises to answer the prayers of His people. And He will answer all of your prayers, not just the simple ones, the basic ones, the little ones, the tiny ones, the tiny requests. He has promised to answer all of our prayers. And remember, the Lord delights to answer hard prayers, difficult petitions. You think of what He said in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Remember that the words there, "great and mighty," mean great and hidden things. Something that we can't see taking place. Something that, you know, humanly speaking, as far as our ability is concerned, it could never happen. But he's able to do those great and mighty things, those great and hidden things. In the Psalms it says, open your mouth wide, and the Lord will fill it. So the meaning of those words is, don't be afraid to make a big request. Don't be afraid to come with a large petition when you approach the throne of grace, because he's able to answer those prayers. Think of the words of Paul to the Ephesian believers. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or even think. What a statement that is, brethren and sisters. Think of the strength, the build-up of the words. Think of the statement, especially at the end, above all that we could ask or even think. Sometimes we're afraid to tell people what we're thinking. But it's really saying, bring your dreams to the Lord. Things that you would be afraid to tell others, bring them to God in prayer, and he's able to answer them. Hezekiah, when he was unwell, he asked the Lord to spare him. The Lord said, I've seen your tears, and I've heard your prayers. And the Lord added on to his days another 15 years. I know there's a lot of questions asked about that. The Lord has appointed our bounds, and so on. I'll resist from getting into addressing that question this morning. I just emphasize to you that God answered the prayers of Hezekiah on that occasion. You think of Isaac and his wife, Rebecca. They were barren. And for 20 years, they prayed about that barrenness, pleaded with God to bless them with a child, to bless them with a son. The Word of God uses the words, he entreated the Lord. So he brought it before the Lord in prayer. What an example he is. And the Lord answered the prayer after 20 years. That's how long he had to persist in bringing that petition. And when the Lord answered the prayer, he gave him a double blessing, because he didn't just give them one child. He gave them two. He gave them twins. Think of the church in Acts 12, praying for Peter's release. And many gathered together praying, and the Lord intervened. The Lord heard their cries. Even though when their prayer was answered and Peter came, stood at the door, they were full of unbelief. They couldn't believe that Peter was actually at the door of the house where they were gathered together praying. So be encouraged, brethren and sisters. Be encouraged to come to the prayer meeting. Be encouraged to keep praying personally, privately. There's no prayer that is too hard for the Lord to answer. Remember as well that there's no problem that's too hard for the Lord to solve. Isn't it true? Life is full of problems. I think we realize that all the more the older that we get. Life is full of problems and difficulties. Job said, man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. So just as naturally as sparks rise, man will experience and encounter troubles in this life. You may have one this morning. In fact, you may have several, many troubles that you're encountering. Things that are on your heart today as you sit in the house of God. Maybe some of them, you've tried to solve them yourself. You've done everything that you possibly could, and you've failed miserably. Maybe the situation today is worse than it has ever been. You say it's an impossible situation. You say there's nothing that can be done. Well, I would say to you, it might be impossible for you, but it's not impossible for God. He is the God of the impossibility. You think of Moses at the Red Sea. You think you have problems? Well, the sea was before him. What an obstacle that was. The army of Egypt was behind him. He had a complaining people all around him. But God made a way. God made a way of escape, a way through. They passed through the Red Sea, and the Bible emphasizes they did so on dry ground, on dry land. It wasn't that they were wading through muck to the knees. The God of the impossibility. You think of the wedding at Cana. They had a problem. The wine was done. It would have spoiled the day, spoiled the celebrations, spoiled the wedding. But God solved the problem. In fact, he provided the best wine. The governor of the feast was impressed. He marveled at the wine that was served at the end of that feast. You think of Daniel. King Nebuchadnezzar wanted to know his dream and the interpretation of it. Remember in Daniel 2, he wouldn't tell the dream to the wise men. You imagine saying to somebody, I want you to tell me what I dreamed, and then I want you to tell me the meaning of the dream. So they pleaded, tell us the dream, and then we'll tell you the meaning. And he said to them, no, you tell me the dream and the meaning, and if you don't, you're going to be put to death. But the Lord gave the dream to Daniel. Remember, he was described in the book of Daniel as a man in whom the spirit of the gods is. And he not only gave him the dream, but he gave him the great interpretation of it as well. So those are examples, brethren and sisters. God's people have always had problems. It's nothing new. But the reality today for our encouragement is that what the Lord did then, he can do now. Remember, man's extremity is God's opportunity. You have a great problem. I don't doubt that. Not for one moment. In 30 years and more of pastoral experience, I appreciate the great problems that families face. I don't doubt that you have a great problem today. But I want you to understand, men and women, that God is greater. Greater still. Greater than all our difficulties. And greater than all our problems. So there's no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. There's no place that's too hard for the Lord to revive. Don't we long for revival? Especially in the evil, dark day in which we live. That is the burden, the prayer, the longing of our hearts. Well, let me say to you this morning that God can revive Armagh City. God can revive this province of Ulster. There's not a doubt about it. It is a place of darkness. The spiritual darkness is descending upon us. The violence, steeped in Catholicism, this city especially, ever more so being opposed to the message of the gospel. We could easily despair. We could easily give up. We think that other places will see revival first, but this place will never see revival. I assure you, men and women, it's not too hard for the Lord to send a breath of His Spirit, a move of His Spirit again into this city. Be encouraged by that knowledge this morning. We hear said of certain places, that's a hard place. Remember, what makes it hard is the hardness of the hearts of the people. It's true that places spiritually are harder than others. They are too hard for us, of that there's no doubt. But they're not too hard for him. Remember, there was revival in Samaria. I encourage you to read that account again of the Savior's visit to Samaria in John chapter 4. Revival in Samaria, not in Bethlehem. Bethlehem, the house of bread. Samaria, well, that was the most unexpected place. They were the enemies of the Jews. They were people that followed a false religion. But when the Savior came, many of them believed. Many of them turned to Christ in salvation. Remember that there was revival in Nineveh. That's the greatest example of revival in all the Old Testament scriptures. A heathen city. The violence of that city is emphasized, it's highlighted. But the Bible says it turned to God. From the least to the greatest. There was a move of God right through that whole city. And it was so deep a move of God that they repented in sackcloth and in ashes. You think of the nation of China. Been in the news again. The visit of the Chinese leader to the United States of America. In China today, Christianity is outlawed. That is the official position of the Chinese government. But it hasn't hindered the work of God, the work of the gospel. There are millions of Christians in China today. In fact, the estimate is that there's far more Christians in China than there is people in the United Kingdom. They reckon there's in excess of at least 100 million of the Lord's people in that great country of China alone, many of them suffering persecution for their faithfulness, many of them suffering, many of them imprisoned because of their stand for the Lord and the things of God. There's no place, men and women, no place that's too hard for God to work in and for God to revive. The final one that I'll mention, there's no person that's too hard for the Lord to save. It's not a great encouragement for you today. Maybe you have a family member, a special friend, they're still out of Christ. The end of another year is approaching. They're now further away from the Lord, perhaps. Maybe even deeper in sin than they've ever been before. It's maybe one of those situations where you can't even speak to them. Can't say a word to them about the Lord. If you do, they're so bitter, so angry, the response. You despair of them, you're worried, you're deeply concerned. You're asking, will they ever be saved? Will they ever come to Christ? Could God ever save them? Well, we tell you this morning confidently, yes, he can. Listen, men and women, the Word of God declares very plainly, he's able to save. May the Lord increase our faith today in his ability. He's able. He's able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Remember, Paul was the chief of sinners. And if God saved the chief, the worst of sinners, he can save your friend. He can save our loved ones as well. Remember, in the days of the Reformation, it was that verse that brought Thomas Bilney to Christ. He thought he had sinned beyond the pale of redemption. And then he read those words, reading through his Greek New Testament. Remember, it was an outlawed book in those days. And he came to those words of Paul. This is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. What? The chief of sinners saved? Well, if God can save the chief of sinners, God can save Thomas Bilney as well. And he did. And what a testimony of God's grace he became. He can save your loved one, brethren and sisters. You think of some of the conversions recorded in the Bible. We mentioned the Savior in Samaria. Well, think of the woman of Samaria, a woman in the depths of immorality. She had five husbands, and she and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, but the Lord saved her. And what a trophy of grace she became. Think of the dying thief, a condemned criminal in the very place of execution, in the last hours, perhaps even minutes of his life, and he came to Christ in salvation. Think of Simon Zelotes, the Zealots. Remember, the Zealots in the days of Christ were the terrorists, the dagger men, just like Hamas we hear about in the news today, the terrorists of their day. Amongst the apostolic band, there was a converted terrorist. Does that encourage you, brethren and sisters, of what God can do? Think of the priests of Judaism that had departed that apostate religion, and yet under the New Testament church, the book of Acts records that a great number of them believed and turned to the Lord. You think of the priests in this city, the priests in this land of ours. May God break forth among them in a similar way that many of them believe. I encourage you to read biographies. Always take the time to listen to testimonies. One of the benefits that we get from them, they encourage you to see the circumstances in which God can save people from, varying circumstances and situations. There is no person, brethren and sisters, no person too hard for the Lord to save. May that bless your heart this morning. Is anything too hard for the Lord? The answer, men and women, is no, there is not. May he give us a vision again today of the greatness of his power. He is the God of the impossibility. I close by saying, you may have doubts and discouragements. There may be attacks of the devil on you personally and upon your family. Well, here's a text to strengthen your heart. Is anything too hard for the Lord? There's a little verse, a verse of a hymn. It sums up all that we've been saying this morning. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains that you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do what no other can do. May the Lord make his word a blessing to every heart this morning. 628, we'll turn to it as we close. I am praying, blessed Saviour, to be more and more like thee. I am praying that thy spirit, like a dove, may rest on me. Thou who knowest all my weakness, thou who knowest all my care, while I plead each precious promise, hear, O hear, and answer prayer. We're going to sing the first two verses, just 628, and we'll stand as we sing. Father, we thank thee for the meeting today. We thank you for the book of God. We praise thee for this book that is a revelation of thyself. We thank you for all that you've shown to us today of the greatness of our God. Remember Isaiah, he saw also the Lord sitting upon his throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Lord, we ask, give to us anew and afresh a similar view, a similar vision of thyself. Give us the eye of faith today amidst the darkness of our day and the darkness of our circumstances. And Lord, help us all to leave thy house rejoicing in the greatness of the power of our God. And we pray, Father, impress upon us, renew in all of our hearts that conviction that thou art the God of the impossibility. Hear our cries. Abide with us all through today. Remember the gospel service tonight. May the double portion of your spirit rest upon it. And Lord, come and save, we pray, even as we've been considering this morning, saving the chief of sinners. O God, come and do it in our meeting even tonight. Answer these our prayers. And we ask that the blessing of God Almighty, the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, will be our abiding portion, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.